Okay, good morning, everybody. First of all, I'd like to start off by mentioning that today is Chav Dalet Elul, which is the yahrzeit of the great Chavetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik, Mikadosh Levracha. So just one very powerful story to say over about the Chavetz Chaim that has the potential to leave an indelible impression upon all of us. One Purim, one of the Bachurim in the yeshiva got drunk, and he went over to the Chavetz Chaim, and he asked the Chavetz Chaim, "Rebbe, guarantee me that I'll be with you in your mechitza, in your domain, in your area, in Olam Haba." And the Chavetz Chaim turned very serious, and the Chavetz Chaim said, "If you're mekabel on yourself right now, never speak Lashon Hara again, I guarantee you, you'll be in my mechitza in Olam Haba." And the boy thought for a few seconds, and he said, "I can't do it." And Chavetz Chaim waved his hand and said, "You know, take him away." And he took him away. And like most of us, I would say that we think like, "Oh, what a fool, right? What a fool. Like, Chavetz Chaim offered you Olam Haba, and you didn't have the guts to accept the challenge, to agree to not speak Lashon Hara ever again." But the real deep, indelible impression you get from the story is that it's pretty poshut that if we would take that upon ourselves, if we would take it upon ourselves to never speak Lashon Hara also from here on in, we'd also be zeicher to be in the chitz of the Chavetz Chaim. So he wasn't just saying it to that bachur, because it's certainly objectively obvious that anybody who accepts upon themselves right now, today, to never speak Lashon Hara again, you'd also be in the mechitza of the Chavetz Chaim. Certainly something to think about. In the same way we were so quick to say, "Oh, what a foolish bachur, what a silly guy, he could have had it." The Musar Haskel is certainly that we could have it also if we accept upon ourselves, Bli Neder, to never speak Lashon Hara again. Number one. Number two, in this week's parasha, we have the parasha of tshuva. Many different psukim about tshuva. Oh, it goes for about 8-9 psukim, but the psukim are very perplexing. The first, I'll just quote, highlight the first few psukim. V'shova ad Hashem Elokecha. Do tshuva. Turn to Hashem and do tshuva. And then what does the pasuk say later on? V'shova Hashem Elokecha shvuscha. Hashem will bring back the captive, so he'll return to you. You'll reconnect. This is talking about the Geula. And then it says, "Umol Hashem Elokecha Zlavavcha, Rashi Tevos of Elul." Hashem will circumcise your hearts, and you'll get close to Hashem again. And then it says again, in Pasuk, I think it's Ches or Tes, it says, "Ve'ata toshev v'shemata b'kol Hashem." And then again, you're going to do tshuva. So, the Chavetz Chaim asks, what's going on here? We're doing tshuva, we're going to Hashem, and then we're going to do tshuva again, and listen to Hashem again. What's going on over here? So, he quotes this is based on the Hashmotas Shnia B'Sof Sefer Likutei Amarim. This is a compilation of Divrei Torah from Chavetz Chaim. The Medrash in Shir Hashir says, "Piskli Pisko Chichudo Shel Machad V'ani Eftach Lachem Pisko Shel Ula." Right? Everybody knows this line that we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Right? If we open up the eye of the needle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open for us the opening and entrance of the palace. Of the huge room. So we see from here that al piderach hateva, it's very, very hard to do tshuva. Very hard, very challenging to rectify all of our iniquities, to all of our bad habits. It's seemingly insurmountable. Well, the truth is, we should know from the opening lines, opening part of the Shari Tshuva, min ha-tovas asher heitiv Hashem Yisbarach b'ruav, one of the greatest things that Hashem gave us. Of course, He gave us water, He gave us air to breathe. The greatest thing He ever gave us was tshuva, right? Ki heichin lehem derech lalos mitoch pachas maaseihem, v'lonos mipach b'shem. It's a gift from Hashem. Tshuva is a gift from Hashem. But the truth is, we can't do it on our own, because He says later on, He says, "It's bar b'torah ki yazer Hashem l'shovim." Hashem helps you. Kasher ein yad tiva maaseges. Naturally speaking, we're right. It's al pi derech hateva, which is lashon of yad tivam. It's very, very hard to change. To change everything, to change, to be better. It's mamish. It's not necessarily possible. Piderach teva on our own, but the psukim are telling us no. We got to take the first step. We take the first step. We do tshuva, Then Hashem helps us out and sort of reconnects with us and inspires us and connects us. And then again, we do another tshuva. Because that's the ultimate. That's reaching the highest madriga of tshuva. But first, we have to have charata al avar. We have to feel bad about the past. And a kabbalah al asid. And then through that, then we can go. Then we can really reach the level of a tshuva shlema. So I think it's a very comforting feeling. That it's somewhat of a three-step process, four-step process, right? We take the first step, we open up the eye of the needle, we show Hashem that we really want to do better, we want to do something, we want to improve in a very, very small way. Then a Kaddish Baruch Hu all of a sudden opens up this massive opening to the Ulam, he gives us tremendous siyat to the Shemaya, and then ultimately it perfects us completely. So the quote from the Chavetz Chaim from the Sefer Beis Yisrael, the following mashal. He says that there was a wholesaler where all the merchants would get their, you know, get their wares for the month, you know, for the year to sell, but they would do it on credit, right? They'd stock up, let's say, on inventory for, let's say, $100,000, whatever it is, and they'd go home, they'd sell it, you know, they'd come back with $120,000, and they'd, you know, give the 20, obviously, you know, they'd have $20,000 in profit. But Nebuch, this gentleman who had a store, he came, and the wholesaler said, "I'm very, very sorry, I can no longer give you on credit." What happened? The first time he bought his $100,000 worth of merchandise, he brought it back and there was a fire. He pushed it. He didn't make any profit. He barely made anything. He wasn't able to pay back. And the second time he bought on credit. He went back and he was making a wedding, and he couldn't pay back the wholesaler. He had to use the money to marry off his son. He had good excuses. He said, "Please, please, please. You know, this third time, this last time, I promise you, I'll be able to pay you back." And the man said, "I believe you and I trust you, but I simply can't give it to you anymore. You have no credibility anymore. I sold it to you on credit once. I sold it to you on credit twice. I'm very, very sorry. I can't continue doing this. I also have to feed my family." So the man is obviously dejected, and he walks away, and he meets another person who has a store, who buys from the wholesaler, and he says, "I have a great idea for you. Here's the great idea. Start slow. Go to him, instead of ordering and buying on credit $100,000 worth of merchandise, buy $5,000 worth of merchandise, go back to your hometown, sell it, make a more modest profit, and then pay back. And over time, every year, every few months, if you buy on credit a much smaller amount than what you really need, so eventually you'll develop the trust once again." And that's what he did. And that's the mashal. And the nimshal, says the Chavetz Chaim, is as follows. The Churban Beis HaMikdash happened, and we did tshuva, and we said, "Hashem, we're going to do better." And what happened after that? Again, another Churban. And then he says that we say every Yom Kippur we're going to do tshuva, and it doesn't always work out. We say we're going to be better. It doesn't always work out. So we lose our ne'amonos. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he can't trust us anymore. We said we're going to do better, and it doesn't work out. But what can we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu? We can come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, "Listen, I'm going to do better in this small mitzvah, in this small mitzvah. I'm going to work on my trust with you. I'm going to work on the small things. I'm going to say Asher Yotzer better. I'm going to later. I'm going to come to the davening on time. Little by little, a tzura katan, a little peck, a little. We can borrow every year. We can borrow a little bit. We can't ask Hashem for everything, but a little bit we can. A little bit we can." And that's so. I'll just quote the words that he says. We accept upon ourselves to return in a small way. That's not going to be too much of a loss of money and not too much time. Not too hard. Listen to what he says. We'll guard the way we talk. Mehavonas ponim, from embarrassing people, v'tzar hachaver, not painting our friends, rechilos lashon hara, you know, talking about other people, k'shenisragel b'kach, and we become accustomed to act and to talk in these ways, nachves hayiriyal l'shmiras hayinayim v'hamachshava, we'll expand ourselves and regard our eyes and our thoughts, u'tikin hamaisim kulam, and then eventually we'll come to a point where we can rectify all our deeds. Kach nishkam nes ethna musenu, this way we'll reestablish our trustworthiness. Kodesh Baruch Hu yuslach lanu Mashiach tzichenu. Then we'll come to Mashiach. You see, this is the yisod. We're in the parashios of tshuva. We're in the zman of tshuva. It's impossible, al pi derech hateva, to rectify all the things, right? If you make a list of cheshbon and nesvash, you'd be like, okay, I do this, oh man, I do this, right? You go through the al-chait, so like, oh my gosh, I'm on every single al-chait. How in the world can we go ahead and do tshuva on all the al-chaits in one shot? It's impossible. But the Torah is telling us, it's not, right? Lo alecha hamlachol, gemara v'lo'ato, himatamimera. Right? It's not upon you to finish all the work, right? But on the other hand, you can't be miayish, you can't throw up your hands. It's mamish, this nekuda, the small, small things. And this is what the Torah is telling us. Tshuva means start. Kadosh Baruch Hu helps you, then eventually we reach the ultimate tshuva. And there's a million ways we can do this, whether it's through your tefillah, right? Everybody should take, I think, one nekuda, one thing, say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't fix everything overnight, I can't. But I'm starting, I'm showing you. And then you'll be zocha, it's a tremendous siyata d'shmaya in your tshuva. I just want to close with the most amazing thing that a friend of mine told me 2 nights ago. He's the source. I don't know if you want, I'll tell you much later about the diamonds and the twigs in the forest. That's for a different thing. So the conversation started by asking him that, you know, going over that mushel, and he told me the most amazing thing. This friend of mine, I'll say his name is Rabbi Moshe Jinian. He's a Rosh Shiva of a yeshiva called Avos Chaim, and he has a weekly chavrusa with Rabbi Aaron David, and he recently had a machloikas with Rabbi Aaron David, and about Mesiras Nefesh. We know that Rashi tells us, when in Shema it says, B'chol Nafshko, Rashi tells us, you have to be willing to give up your life for Hashem. That's what, when you say Shema, you have to be willing to give up your life for Hashem. Rabbi Aaron David told my friend that Lemaisa, we're not on that Madrega. Of saying, when we say Kabbalah Shema, when we do Kabbalah Shema, when we say the Kriya Shema, we say Hashem, I'm willing to give up my life for you. They even quoted, I couldn't find it, they quoted a Bach. The Bach says you have to be willing to go through Arba Mises Bezdin, Skila Srefa Herig V'Chenek for Hashem. That's what Kabbalah Shema Achshmaim is. And Baron David said, our generation is not fit for that. That's not talking to our generation. So, my friend has a Rebbe. His name is Rav Abish Eisen Shlita. He's a big Rav in Meir Sha'arim somewhere. And he went to him with this question. What does it mean to be most inefficient in our generation? What does it mean? So he gave him the most amazing answer. And then, I'll tell you, just as a precursor, so my friend went back to Baron David, and he said, why doesn't he publicize this? Why didn't he write this answer down about what Mesiras Nefesh is? So he doesn't write. Apparently he doesn't write. I don't know, whatever. Listen to this vort. It's an amazing thing. And it happens to also fit in with Rosh Hashanah beautifully. The first time that you see Mesiras Nefesh in the Torah, one would think is the Kivshon Ha'esh. Avraham Avinu was willing to jump in the fire for Hashem. But guess what? It's not in the Torah. It's in Chazal, in Midrashim. There's something to that. The fact that it's not explicit in the Torah shows us that it doesn't necessarily relate to us. It's not a benchmark for us. It's not in the Torah. The first mice of Mesiras Nefesh that we see very clearly is a Kedas Yitzchak. And what? No, okay, that also is certainly Nisayon. Okay, but I hear. But, so giving up your life. That's the Nekuda. I think that's the Nekuda. Oh, very good. No, it's good Kasha. But B'chol Nashka, meaning to give up your life, the first time a person had to give up their life in the Torah was a Kedas Yitzchak. Which, when you think about it, why don't we call it, obviously, a Kedas Yitzchak means the binding of Yitzchak. And we know who's in Nisayon was it? Be'etzim is Avram's Nisayon. But it's not called by Avram Avinu's name. It's a very telling point. It's a Kedas Yitzchak. It's Yitzchak who is the one who is Moshe Nefesh. Because it says, Rashi tells us, that he figured out what it was, and nevertheless, he went with the same level. And to compound how great Yitzchak was, Avraham Avinu heard it straight from Hashem. Straight from Malach, straight from Hashem. Right? Yitzchak only heard it through Avraham. He only figured it out. It was never a direct commandment. So everybody ever tells you, listen, if Hashem told me to, you know, do mitzvahs all day and all night, if he came and told me, then I would do it. Hashem told me to do most nefesh, I would do it. What do you mean? Yitzchak didn't hear it straight either. He only heard it from Avram. A side point. Now hear this, hear me out. So it's called Akedas Yitzchak. V'yakov es Yitzchak. Now why did Yitzchak Avinu ask to be tied down? Binding Yitzchak. Just go lie down and let him shech to you. What's the answer? He asked to be tied down. Now, I'm not sure. I didn't see this explicit in Rashi, but it makes sense. V'yakod is Yitzchak. That's the one thing we know about. He bound Yitzchak. Why do you have to bind him? Because if you're not bound, if Yitzchak knew that if he wasn't bound, he could be a Baal Mum. He may move. He may move while the Shechita is going on. And if he moves, he's going to become a Baal Mum. What does that mean? That Yitzchak not only wanted to do the mitzvah, he wanted to do the mitzvah to perfection and precision and perfectly. So do you know what? When we say b'chol nafshecha, you know what mesiras nefesh means? Says the Rabbi Eisen Shlita. You know what we have to have in mind when we say b'chol nafshecha? What does mesiras nefesh mean? That we take upon ourselves to do all the mitzvos properly 100%. Can you imagine? It doesn't mean I'm willing to give my life for Hashem. It means I'm willing to do everything correctly and properly. And when you start to think, I mean, just right away, like, what does it mean? Oh, what do you mean I do the mitzvos? I'm saying, we're talking about mamish properly. I'll give you an example. Right away on the spot. Like, officially, halakhically, you're not supposed to walk around when you're making a bracha. Right? You say, Asher Yatzar, you're busy. So, perfect. What does Mesiras Nefesh mean? To do all the mitzvahs we're supposed to be doing properly and perfectly. And that's what Mesiras Nefesh means. Mesiras Nefesh means you don't have to say, oh, I'm giving up my life for God. It's not our generation's avodah. It's like Yitzchak. What was his mysterious nefesh? He didn't just bind it. He didn't just allow himself to be shechted. He said, Tati, Avram Avinu, my father. He said, he didn't call him Avram. He said, tie me up because I want to do it perfectly. And when you think about this lesson in life, like it makes perfect sense. And the truth is, my friend was telling me that 3 years earlier, he had heard from this Rebbe, I believe, maybe it was Brian David. I think Brian David said this. I think it was. That the Brisker Rav, right, he said Shema in the morning, and it carried him till the nighttime. And then he said Shema again, and he was Mekabal Mach Shemaim. So now it all makes sense. What does it mean to Mekabal Mach Shemaim? It means that I'm going to do everything I need to do perfectly. That's where the Brisker Chumras come from. What does it mean with Brisker Chumra? Everything he did from the morning till the night, he did it to perfection. That was just like Yitzchak. Yitzchak wanted to do it to perfection. Everything we do for Hashem is to perfection, to the best of our human ability. That's what Mesiras Nefesh is. That's where the Brisker Chumras come from. That's what it means. You have a kavaling yourself on Malchus Shemayim in the morning, carries you for the next, let's say, assume 12 hours, the next, and that's how you go through life. What an unbelievable lesson. Mesiras Nefesh doesn't mean give up your life. It means to do things right. I'm sure you guys can think of a million examples of doing your life right. And that's what Hashem wants from us. And this is all the same big picture. What does it mean to do tshuva? It doesn't mean we got to fix everything. And the truth is, my friend was telling me, I think it was based on his Rebbe, that there are 45 things you want to work on. It's almost impossible. You take one thing, you say this, I'm doing it perfectly. And I'm showing the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm being Moshe Nefesh. This is how I'm being Moshe Nefesh. I do it to perfection. Yishol b'zoyche. And we know, of course, this is the last week of the year. Certainly, it's brought down the last days. Every year can fix up what you did on the other day. The last Shabbos of the year has tremendous, tremendous, power in it. What it can do for you for the coming year. Of course, we know that the Shabbos is Mashpi on the week, and we're going to Rosh Hashanah. And this, I think, this life lesson of what does it mean to say b'chol nafshecha? What does it mean to accept upon yourself? I'm serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are no shortcuts. I do it to the T. I do it, again, as much as you can, as much as you're humanly capable. When it comes to your davening, when it comes to your learning, when it comes to your Beinam L'Chavero, B'chol Nafshecha means to do it to perfection. And once you open up the Pischa Shum Achad, you open up the little eye of the needle, we can't do it. Al Piderach HaTeva, we're not capable of perfecting ourselves on the way we're supposed to. But if we start, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Siyat Nishmaya. Have a great Shabbos.